Thank you, Brother Steve, our praise team, and Sister Ruth for coming and sharing your talent with us, and honor and glory to the Lord. I want to share a very special message with you, with you. Yeah, I hope my brain and my tongue are working together this morning. It's a message for all of us, because all of us need to hear this from time to time, because I don't know about you, but it's easy to get into that mode of thought to where we just worry. You know, it's easy. This whole coronavirus and the politics and the elections and all the other things that may affect us in our life. It's easy if you allow yourself to begin to just worry and fret over these things that really, to be honest with you, we don't have any control over as an individual. So the message I have for you this morning is tailor-made by the Word of God for every person in this audience and anybody that will listen to our podcast this morning. I want to give this to you, and I want you to just write it down. Stop worrying. Amen? Stop worrying. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have a PhD in worry? Huh? Yeah, I know. Be honest. How many of you will say, I worry more than I should? How many have trouble telling the truth? All right, we worry. And we sometimes, like I said, worry about things that we have no control about or we should worry about. There's a story about how a mother worried about her child going to school. One mother followed the school bus on her daughter's first day of school. And when her daughter came home that day, her mom asked, of course, well, honey, what did you learn today? And the daughter kind of bowed her head down a little bit. Mom, she said, Mom, I learned one thing. You're the only parent that ever followed the school bus to school. Worry, I forget, some wise man said this. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it will accomplish absolutely nothing. You can rock yourself as long as you'll never get anywhere. Because a rocking chair generally is to be at one place. It'll just consume energy. And that's what worry can be sometimes. So I'll say this several times this morning so that you get to the point to where you actually know what this whole message is about. In actuality, when you kind of boil it down and you look at worry as it is related to in the Word of God, you'll find that when we worry, we're actually saying something very, very drastic. Because when we worry helplessly, when we worry endlessly, when we worry without some end to it, we're saying that I don't believe that God can help me. We're saying that I don't believe God is able to deliver me. That I don't believe God can set me free from this problem. That God can break the chains of the misery in a habit or whatever it is that is enslaving me. You see, because I believe that God can do anything. And I believe that God has control over whatever you might be worrying about. You see, because that's the kind of God I believe that we serve. And so from the Word of God today, I want to prove to each and every one of us that God is in absolute, without question, control of your life. Now, listen, God will never override your free will. I want to say that because God doesn't want little robots. But I believe that God is control. That God can even take your mistakes. And if we'll let him turn around for something good. So in other words, as a child of God, now, if you're in the world and you're not saved this morning, I encourage you to do so. But you're on a train wreck. You're going fastly somewhere where you don't want to go. But I'm talking to the child of God this morning. God is in control because He is your Heavenly Father. And God will scatter your enemies. God will help you this morning if you'll just let Him. So this message is to all of us that might be infected with worry. And I've got some words that'll be like penicillin shot for you worry addicts out there today. So my Christian friend, Doc Cypher says, roll up your sleeves. The great physician is in the house, and he is here to heal you of your worries. Let's turn our attention to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And the Apostle Paul deals with this very subject that we're going to talk about. Matter of fact, he tells us at the very beginning what we ought to do with our worries. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 begins by saying, are you ready? Be anxious for nothing. Let that sink in your spirit.
Amen.
Be anxious. In other words, don't worry for nothing. But in everything, here's the answer. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request, in other words, those things that are worrying you, those things that are depressing you, those things that seemingly are overwhelming you, the Bible says, with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And here is the antidote. Here is the penicillin shot, you might want to say. This will what happens when you do these things that will affect your anxiety, your worry. And it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And God's blessing be upon his word to our hearts this morning. So let me read those first four verses, words again. Be anxious for nothing. So I want to break this down into four segments. You have the outline behind you. Number one, let's look at God is in control. If you want to affect what you're worrying about, remind yourself that God is in control. Let me give you proof out of the Bible again that God is in control of everything on this planet. Let's consider the flood of Noah's day in which God judged the earth. We know that. He proved to humanity that he was the creator and that he was in control of everything. All right? Everything that happened that day, everything that happened the 120 years preceding that was according to the plan of God for the salvation of humankind. And two of the creatures, two by two, look at Genesis chapter 7. Let me read to you verse 11. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, and in the 17th day of the month, on that exact day, all the fountains of the deep were opened up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Now, I don't know how you could get any more exact. I mean, this is not a fairy tale. It is not once upon a time. God gives you in the 600th year of the life of this man named Noah, in the second month, and on the 17th day of the month, all that God left out was the hour and the minute and the second. Otherwise than that, God was very specific. In other words, said, I implemented my plan exactly on the day and the moment that I've set it to be for. That whole event caused the hand of God who created this earth. Water gushed out of the ground. Rain began. And because God was punishing Noah's generation because they had turned his back on him. Now God is in control. God is a loving God, but he is a just God, and God will deal with sin. All right? I just threw that in there. And I want to take a moment right here to give us all a word of warning. Be careful, church, that we allow politicians and people in power that we put in there. You know, one of the great things about being an American is that we have a political process. As crazy as it may seem right now, I want to let each and every one of you know, because you are an American citizen, you have a right to vote. And what I'm saying to you is, church, we don't need to sit back and wring our hands and say, oh, what if this certain candidate gets in power? What are we going to do? Well, let me tell you something. You can do something. Come November, you can do something. And I encourage you, church, let your voices be heard. I've told you this before. I think the church has been silent too long. We have let the world dictate us, our moral barometer in this world and in this country specifically. We've just advocated to godlessness and worldlessness. We've allowed God to be kicked out of every institution and every place. Listen, the schools are ours. You a parent? You a grandparent? Listen, that school is yours. It is called a public school. Are you a public? Yes, you are. This government is ours. When I go to the courthouse, my taxes, your taxes, pay to build that thing. Our votes, our forefathers established the rules and the laws of this government. And guess what? It is our responsibility, church, to uphold those values. So don't sit home and complain and worry and fret about the direction of this country. Stand up, get prayed up, get informed, and vote and do something about it. Amen. That's my political word for today.
Amen.
What I'm trying to tell you is, in Genesis chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 5, Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, all through there, things happen on the exact time in the exact place, as God said. Why? Because God is in control. God is in control. And when God said, let there be light, there was light. As God is in control of our planet, not the United Nations, not the European Union, not any Washington, D.C. politician. God is in control. Listen, church, our Father, which art in heaven, He is in charge. And let me ask you a question this morning. Is your life in a state of chaos and confusion? Are you stressed and depressed? Is your life consistently difficult with unending disappointments? Have you given up hope? Are you embracing anger and anxiety? Hear my words. And hear the word of God. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, stop worrying. God is in control. God is going to determine the outcome. God has got all that. Listen, there may be a certain political party that thinks they're in control. There may be a potentate, president, dictator, whatever, that thinks they're in control. But let me tell you something. God ultimately is in control. God is in control. And we can rest in that very fact. Many times in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was given a stress seminar. Five times in Matthew 6, Jesus says, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. In other words, don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. All these things, he said, the Gentiles worry about. In other words, there ought to be a difference. We ought to be worried about all that stuff. You see, Pastor, you don't want me to be worried about what I'm going to put on? Well, not in the fact that it affects your life. I mean, there are people that sit there and spend hours in their closet wondering what they wore. Now, I eliminate that. I just put my jackets in a row, and I know that I'll take this one that Sunday. I put it back in the row. I take that. I try to tell my wife to do that. You know, quit worrying about what you're going to wear. Well, I wore that 4 weeks ago. Somebody might see me in it. Don't worry about that, all right? It doesn't matter. Some of you here are young enough to remember when you only had a couple of dresses or you had a suit. I remember my dad, he had a black suit that he wore in weddings and funerals, and then he had a gray suit. That's all he had. So usually three or four Sundays he'd put on his gray suit. Shirt, tie, all right? Maybe a different tie every now and then. Quit worrying. Stop worrying about things that really don't matter. All right? Why? Because God's your Father. God is your provider. And as we look at some of the names of God, Jehovah Shammah. In other words, He is a God that is there, and that He will is our healer. He's our defender. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our high tower. And listen, He will answer in time of need. Listen, we don't have to. He is our Jehovah Shammah. God is our provider. Angels do His bidding. Angels watch over. He guides and God protects. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And I remember I read this in a couple of funerals that I did, and a realization came to me when David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," something jumped out at me and said, "Shadow!" And I said, "Shadow! Shadow, what's that, God?" You know, and it's like that word shadow just jumped out at me, and I read it again. I said, "Maybe God may have missed it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And I kept thinking, shadow, well, God, why are you just bringing that to my mind? And here's the point. For there to be a shadow, there has to be something. There has to be a light.
Amen.
Huh? Do you get that? And so what God's saying in that David's verse that we read and memorized, what he's saying, "The day though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Listen, for there to be a shadow, there has to be a light somewhere. God's saying, listen, even in death, I'm walking with you. And I know people fear death. I know that's just a natural part of our survival mode that we get into. But church, let me give you some comfort. We don't even have to really worry about that. Don't worry about getting older. I know some people do. I've talked to many. They just worry about getting older. Well, guess what? It just happens. Amen? I mean, you know, I remember, it hasn't been too long ago, I looked down at my hands and I told my wife, "I need some hand cream on my hands. They're getting wrinkly, you know? These are my dad's hands. These are not my hands. They're my dad's hands." I remember looking at my dad's hands, you know, as he got older, I said, and "I need some lotion on here." Well, let me tell you, you know, we worry. We're worried. You know you're getting old when someone compliments you on your alligator boots and you realize you're barefooted. You know? And have you ever noticed that worry comes at a bad time? I mean, is there a good time to worry? You know, it comes in times of crisis. It comes, you know, worry won't come and attack you when you're clear-minded, you're steady, and you got a great decision or whatever. Worry is a killer. Worry will make cowards out of strong men and women. Worry will put wrinkles. Are you listening to me, ladies? Wrinkles of apprehension and fretting and worrying go hand in hand. That's just a proven scientific fact. People wrinkle. And you know, we may pay $50 an ounce for some goo to put on your face to remove a wrinkle. Well, let me give you some great advice. Stop worrying. You know, reduce your wrinkles. Huh? There you go. And it doesn't cost anything. Worry paralyzes us. It causes you not to be as productive. It robs you of your energy, your go juice. It robs you of everything. It'll rob you of the joy that you have. Now, here's another thing. Listen to me. This is another medical science, not theologians, but medical science that proclaim that worry is the mother of cancer. That's right. Worry is a source of heart disease. Worry is the thing that causes high blood pressure and ulcers. It's not so much what you're eating, but it's what's eating you. So be careful. We've got to be able to manage our worry. So that leads me to my another 2 point, okay? Don't get scared, I'll be done. Number two, fear not. Fear not. I'll say this again. Worry proves that you don't believe that God can take care of you. That's what you're saying. And worry will destroy your faith, and it will lead to fear, because faith and fear cannot coexist together. So worry robs you of your faith. Well, what are some of the things that many people worry about? Well, many people fear their past. Because your past, let me tell you, as a believer, has been forgiven. As a matter of fact, it's been forgotten. But it always reminds me that in times of crisis, and I've counseled many, many people, but it seems like every time that people go through a hard time or a difficulty time, all of a sudden things of their past will come to the forefront. And they'll say, "Well, listen, maybe God is punishing me. You know, I remember when I was young, or I remember before I come to the Lord, or I remember after I come to the Lord, and I did this or I did that or whatever, and something bad is happening, tragic, and all of a sudden they're saying, yeah, well, I did this, and I must deserve this. God's punished me. Listen, if God has forgiven you of a sin that you have repented of, then God doesn't remember it. Do you hear me? Don't let the devil dig up some skeleton that is meant to be buried. Don't let him resurrect that thing and stick it back in your face. You need to rebuke him in the name of Jesus and tell him that's under the blood and that God has already forgiven you and God has already forgotten it. Don't even mention it.
Amen.
Don't even say what it was. Don't give the devil an inch for you to repeat that I did this. No, don't even say it. Just when the devil tries to hit you with it, you say, listen, God has forgiven me of that. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. And oh, devil, if you want to resurrect that thing, you're going to have to go through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And if he goes through the blood of Jesus, then the devil will be forgiven and saved. And he's not going to do that. Because you're healing in the blood. Amen? There's forgiveness in the blood.
Amen.
The devil's not going to touch the blood of Christ. And you need to remind him that your past has been forgotten and that the Lord has forgiven you. Are you seeing this, church? Are you seeing it? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalms 23:1. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. You need to remind yourself of that many times. The Bible says that I am he who was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. That means don't fear sickness. For it is the Lord that gives you power to give wealth. That's what the Bible says. We don't have to fear other people. The Bible says, I will make your enemies to be at peace with you. You see, God has got it under control. And God will help us. The number third thing that I want to share with you is just that simple phrase, worry not. Worry not. Worry not. Fear not, worry not. Fear not, worry not. Listen to this, coach. I love this. Chuck Swindoll said this. He said, worry is trust in the unpleasant. Worry is the assurance that disaster is coming. Worry is believing in your personal defeat and despair. Worry is a polluted stream that flows through your brain, that drowns hope and optimism, that kills faith. Worry is interest paid on trouble that never happens. Think about it. One wise old man said, and I quote, most of the trouble I've had in my life never happened.
Yep.
You know, you all know the statistics about worrying about things. So many of the things that we worry about never happen.
Right.
Oh, you can sit worrying, 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 worrying. But so many of them do not worry. So why do we worry? You know, the average husband worries about what his wife spends and what the government spends. The difference is he's afraid to criticize the government. Let me write that out here. I'm trying to preach this sermon again. We worry about comparing ourselves to other people. But let me remind you, there will always be somebody better. You know that? There are people out there worried that somebody out there is going to do something better. But there'll be a better doctor, better lawyer, better machinist, better mechanic, better preacher. There's always somebody. So quit worrying about those. And stop worrying about who you're not. Be thankful for who you are.
Amen.
Quit worrying. I remember in seminary, and I've shared this story with you before. You know, I would go to chapel, and they'd always feature one of the students or whatever like that. And they'd get up there, you know, and they'd get up there and sing and play the piano and then preach, and then have that great preaching voice, you know, Boondoggle, you know, have all those pronunciations. And I'd sit back there and I'd go back to my room and I'd be so depressed. I'd say, God, I can't sing. God, I can't play the piano. God, I don't have a voice like so-and-so that sounds so well. God, why am I doing here? And God would always remind me, because I called you here. Church, there's always going to be somebody better. Just be happy with who you are. God says that you are unique. God says there's not another person in this world that is just like you. And that makes you special. That makes you valuable to God. You're royalty. You're a child of the King. You're kings and priests unto God. You're an ambassador. You are somebody. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're somebody. Amen. You're somebody. You're somebody, God. Number four, confront it. Confront it. You can never change what you will not confront. I've heard this, you know, being in education most of my life, being in church, I've had people come to me and say, my children won't mind me. I can't make them do a thing. I've heard that. Listen, confront them. Confront them. I say this in love now. I say this in love. I've been to SeaWorld. And they have a porpoise there that shoots basketballs in a hoop and makes it. I've been to zoos. And they have trained wild lions to jump through hoops of fire. Don't tell me you can't tell your kid to pick up their room, take out the garbage, or make their bed. If they can train a porpoise to shoot a basketball and a wild lion to jump through a hoop of fire, then guess what? I really believe that we can train our children right.
Amen.
Say amen and all
amen.
All right. I said it love now, okay? I said it love. Don't worry. And this is a biggie. Don't worry about what you can't change, but stop working on those things that you can. All right? Stop worrying about the things that you can't change. Rather, focus on the things that you can. Let me close with this illustration. I read a story of an aviator who was making a flight all around the world, and he had to stop every 4 to 6 hours at selected landing fields. And on one leg of his journey, he was about 2 hours from where he was supposed to land. 2 hours from where he had just taken off. So he was kind of in the middle of his route. He was exactly right there. And all of a sudden, this pilot, who was alone in the airplane, making this round-the-world flight, heard a noise somewhere in the control panel, in the dash. All of a sudden, he listened a little bit closer. He could hear some gnawing. And he automatically, fear come over him. He said, oh my, he said, I've got a rat. I've got a rat in my control panel. And it's gnawing on my wires. And he's wondering, is it going to gnaw through one of my indicators? Is it going to gnaw through one of my fuel gauges? Is it going to gnaw through one of my controls? What am I going to do? And all of a sudden, he remembered that a rat is a rodent. And it's not made for a high altitude. It's not made for where the air gets thin. It's made to live in dark holes in the ground. And so he nosed up his plane. It went higher and higher and higher. He went higher into the altitude where the air becomes really thin. He kept climbing his plane till he didn't hear any gnawing anymore. After a while, he put his plane down, safely landed where he was going to go. All of a sudden, he took up his fist and he whacked that control panel, and all of a sudden, a dead rat fell to the floor. You see, the point is, worry is a rat. It can't live in the secret place of the Most High. It can't breathe in the atmosphere of faith where there is no fear. It can't exist where there's an abiding confidence that God is in control of everything that affects your life. And if your life course has been altered by a crisis this morning, if you're living with stress and worry, then I encourage you to climb high, my brother and sister. Climb high into the altitude where God is, where the rats of worry can't exist anymore. And guess what? God will give you peace. He'll give you assurance. You can put your trust in God that is going to see you through, because worry will rob you of the victory that God says is yours. Are you ready to claim your victory this morning? Are you ready to have confidence in God? Are you ready to see the worry rats fall to the floor of your life? I hope so this morning, because it can happen. Whatever you're worried about, whatever's infecting you with the worry disease, then take a shot of grace. Take a shot of the love of God, and He'll remove that fear from your life. Amen. And you can be worry-free. Trust God. He's in control.